Captain Archer of the battlecruiser Enterprise.
This is Christopher Pike of the USS Enterprise.
This is Captain James Kirk of the USS Enterprise.
This is Jean-Luc Picard, Captain of the Enterprise.
This is Captain Sisko of the USS Defiant.
Welcome, everybody, to The Away Team, a series that recaps each episode of Star Trek in canonical order with a bit of a twist. I'm Stephen Vargas.
I'm Adam Riley.
But every time I hit record, I always hold my breath for 10 seconds. I do not know why.
Really?
Yeah. I know you can do whatever the fuck you want, but for some reason every time I do it I always end up holding my breath for 10 seconds, so at least I know I can hold my breath for 10 seconds.
That's all right.
Yeah, you know,
I mean, it's not a long time, but I mean
yeah. But you know, when you go down and it smells a little funny down there, you gotta hold your breath for a little bit.
A little funny. You might want to abandon ship,
bro. As Sam Kennison once said, if you don't trust the pussy, why are you fucking the pussy?
I do remember that.
I love that. And that was this whole thing about condoms. I mean, first off, if you don't trust the pussy, why are you fucking the pussy?
Sometimes the sweetest thing can be the worst for you. You know what I mean?
Hey, like, well, even the apple got Adam and Eve banned from the from paradise. So,
and who was giving that apple away? I remember, because Adam was just chilling. So,
right,
you know, he was still on point.
He was chilling, playing, you know, playing Minecraft. You know, it's just what he was doing.
He was like, I don't think we're supposed to eat that. She's like, no, it's cool. And he's like, okay.
Well, she said, what she said was, it's like, yeah, but I saw these guys on TikTok doing it. Oh, well.
Oh, on TikTok.
TikTok, well, then, you know.
Ye old TikTok.
Ye old TikTok. Ye old with the E at the end.
That's right. It's more biblical. If you say
I was watching the Leon Lesh video. I should send that to you. At the end, he was talking about this lady who was an older lady, and she was at some sort of event. And you know how anytime you go to like concerts or fairs and stuff like that, and you want to get a drink, the line's always really long, especially for alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
She was waiting there, and she said that she had been, you know, that the line, you know, that she was waiting in there for like 30 minutes or something like that in there. And these girls cut in and got their drinks, like not giving a fuck about everybody else. And people started calling them out. And the lady that was waiting further back walked up there and started giving him shit. And immediately when the lady started giving the young girl shit, you see the chick pull up her phone and like automatically go to like, she's going to record this, you know, because that's what people do nowadays. Mm-hmm. And she's yelling at them and stuff like that. And the older lady smacked the phone out of the chick's hand. And the chick was like, I have 75,000 TikTok viewers. Like somehow that is the thing of like, okay. Oh, you have 75,000 TikTok viewers? Shit. Well then go ahead, do whatever the fuck you want. And the chick's over there talking shit to the older lady, and the lady grabs the bitch's hair and like flings her back. So like she falls back, and then they just like grab their shit and just kind of start walking. And the older lady just walked off. I guess she was just, you know, not going to get anything. And you hear everybody in line is like laughing at the chicks. They're like, oh my God, she has 75,000 TikTok followers. And they're just cracking each other up. And then of course, typical, you know, young chick fashion, they followed the older lady. But once the older lady turned around and like followed them, you see them walk off.
Yeah, of course.
I was like, oh, you were going to talk shit until she said, what? Then you back the fuck up.
You was going to talk shit, but you ended up not being shit. All right?
But,
shut your ass up.
I was cracking up. And those people were just clowning her. Just like, oh my God, she has this many viewers on TikTok. Like, oh. I started cracking up. When are people going to realize that that's not real?
It's because, again, these people live in a fucking bubble. They think that that shit's important. It's important in their little circle online. But outside in this real world, motherfucker, you tell some electrician or something just got off the job, got 70,000, bitch, I don't give a fuck.
But it's like that chick that went to that car lot. She fucked up and mentioned the wrong car lot, then goes to the car lot trying talking shit because she has so many TikTok followers and the cops fucking arrest her.
Right.
It's like,
it's kind of weird, like, and I'm not hating, like, whatever, but TikTok influencers or whatever, like, they make money, you know. It's technically entertainment.
Yeah,
do you ever think that, like, it's one of those few jobs that contributes nothing to society of any substance whatsoever? Like, even just working a 9-to-5 at a gas station, you're still in the community.
Right.
Providing a service.
You're providing a service that everybody needs, particularly the TikTokers that have to use that to go wherever they are to harass whoever.
Well, they can do that, see, because they have 70,000 followers. Right. You know, it's just so funny. I mean, like, that's – followers is currency online. It ain't here in the real world. I don't give a fuck. You come talking that shit to me, I'm like, bitch, tell all 70,000 of them to fucking suck my dick.
So, well, to me, TikTok followers have the same actual influence as Bitcoin at this point. Oh, when you were talking on the other show, the Truly Pointless Podcast. Available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. When you were mentioning on there about NFTs, somebody goes, yeah, NFTs stands for no fucking thanks.
Yeah, exactly.
I was like, Jesus.
I saw one dude. I forget where I saw it. It was funny, though, because someone had just got done explaining what NFTs are, and he kind of took a beat, took a deep breath, and clapped his hands and goes, hey, every generation has their own little scam. You know what I mean? And if this is the current one.
God, I see those, like, I watch, you know, like, I watch CoffeeZilla and some of these other shows, and you just see all these fucking scams. I'm like, and it's always by the same type of looking people. Like, these people that you look at them and you're like, I wouldn't trust you to fix my computer, but I'm going to trust you. Because
they look like they'd go through your personal files.
Yeah. Like they would literally clone your hard drive, you know, because they'll be like, oh, let's look at them pictures. Oh yeah. Let's go ahead and clone that shit. But it's, you know, like I see these and then I'm thinking like, fuck dude, like I wouldn't trust half of these people. And then they go online saying like, we're legit. We're not scamming you in any way. And it's just like, what? Yeah, you are. It's a Ponzi scheme. And a couple of them I was watching online, they were basically literally, what do you call those multi-marketing ones? You know, those, what do they call those? Fuck.
It's called multi-marketing.
Yeah, I know, but there's another name for it. Pyramid scheme.
Oh, yeah.
Because they use the, you know, they use the new funds to pay the old funds, that kind of
shit.
The
trickle-up effect.
Yeah. The fail upward.
You get paid, then you pay the person above you, pays the person above them.
Yeah. And they don't make money on actual working. They make money on getting the people to join.
These scams work because most people will do anything but actually work for a living.
To at least get rich.
Right. It's like, I don't want to get a job, but this will get me money. Bitch, just go get a job. Like, you ain't fucking special.
Get screwed the normal way.
Right. Just go work like the rest of us have to do.
Oh, man. Oh, also, I was going to say, Shuttlepod One, that podcast.
Yeah.
They've been expanding their reach with actors now. We're in TNG and DS9 actors.
Nice.
So they talk last.
I mean, they were going to have to eventually.
Yeah. They were talking to, Nana Visitor, who was Major Kira in the last episode. They talked to Michael Dorn. They got Worf.
I still need to listen to some of those episodes.
This week they have our favorite character, man. They have Tasha Yar on this week's episode.
You know, she's actually funny in interviews.
No, she's funny, and I liked her in a lot of other roles. It's just the TNG one was just badly written.
Yeah.
Like, they just, like, in most of these, because I noticed they did that when I was, we were talking earlier about Sliders, and they were saying how the character, the female character, was envisioned and how they written. They go, they envisioned her to be like, you know, the morality foil, you know, the kind of back and forth that they wanted to have, but they ended up writing her up as being kind of bitchy. And I was like, yeah, because you didn't know how to write for women to make them sound like that. You know, and you can see that even in the early areas of TNG was, and even Major Kira was kind of that way until they found the groove for her to make her that way. Well,
what's her name on Voyager? The half
Klingon one. Yeah, B'Elanna.
B'Elanna. Like, she could have been an amazing character, and she was for the most part, but they it's like she's Klingon. She's not a fucking college co-ed. Like, stop making her complain.
Right.
Be all whiny and shit. It was weird how they wrote her character.
It was funny because when I was talking about that, I think it's Deep Sea Voyages, DSV, I think is what it was called.
Wasn't it called SeaQuest?
SeaQuest, yeah. SeaQuest and
Deep Sea Voyages.
No, because they added that in the later seasons.
Yeah, it was SeaQuest
DSV. Yeah, SeaQuest.
Something like that.
And they said, like, and the guy that was doing it was like, I love the first season. There were a lot of great episodes, a lot of great characters. And there was one character that he was all over. But they said as they got into the later seasons, they go, they brought in this character who kind of reminded me. And then they showed Quark. And then they're like, and then this character who kind of reminded me of, and they showed another TNG character. And then they go, and then they brought in this character who really made me think of, and then they showed Troy, but from that Family Guy episode where it was Picard asking Troy, they go, are you sensing any? No, but I am sensing ties and leather. He's like, oh, I don't. And Patrick Stewart's like, oh, well, that must be something you're getting from them. and then it shot back to the character that he was talking about. And then the character goes, are you sensing anything? She's like, nothing. I'm not sensing it. They believe everything. I was like, oh my God, they made an empath. Like, what did they do? Look at TNG and thought, and DS9 and go, that character would be good. Let's add these characters to this. I was like, right. Holy shit. They were just copying these characters. But yeah, you know, it was just, and I was hearing the same thing from that, is that they were making, when they're trying to do female characters that can work in a man's work, they tended to make them bitchy. And I noticed that in a lot of 80s and 90s.
Because, honestly, and I don't want to sound rude, but especially in the 80s and 90s, most men, who was the writing room, would view women as being bitchy.
Yeah.
And just complaining a lot. Whether that's true or not, I'm not even speaking on. I'm just saying that there are a lot of men that have girlfriends or wives at home, and they think they just nag them all the time, and they're going to write that.
on the same token, men tended to view women in power or in some type of control that way, because in order for them to be listened to, a lot of times you had to be what men considered bitchy and stuff like that were considered would be having to be more aggressive.
Yeah,
just to make their voices heard.
And due to older society norms,
that's when cute,
a
woman sweetheart
asserts themselves, a lot of men go, God, she's a real bitch.
Yeah.
She's not really being a bitch. She's just trying to get the job done.
Yeah, you know, where you're like, oh, that's cute, sweetheart.
I honestly used to be like that when I was a teenager. Like, if a woman acted masculine, like, in that way, I'd be like, what the fuck's the matter with you? Calm down.
I did it one time. There was this one girl. Where was I? I think it was at Pierce. This was the first time I was at Pierce. This chick tried to be a guy. Like, literally, the clothes, the haircut, everything. And we used to make jokes and stuff like that. You know, kind of like, you know, it's like, I think one of us said, like, oh, she's missing is a dick. And then the other was like, are you sure? Like, it's like, might be hiding one under there. But she would try to come off as being like this machismo. And I'm like, you're in a theater class. Like, you're asserting yourself in a wrong spot. Like, you know, you're going to probably find the more docile males in theater than you are in any other area of the school. And I said something, wasn't even directed at her. And she got up in my face and like pretty much was like, do you want to throw down? And then I said, and then I just like got annoyed. I threw my shit. I go, Linda, let's fucking go. Let's go. Let's do this. And then her face kind of like had this like change. She goes, you fight a girl? I'm like, really? Now you're doing this? I go, you get up. I go, you get up in my face. You act like this. And then you think like, oh, it's a girl. I go, you ain't a girl. You're a fucking bitch.
Exactly. It's like, I want to be treated like everybody else. And then as soon as shit hits the fan, I'm just a lady.
Yeah, it's like you're gonna. I'm a girl. You fight a girl, and it's like really,
like, bro. It's and a lot of women do that to be yeah. real.
Like, it was funny. It was funny too because like, not she wasn't. You know, obviously she wasn't well liked. But even the people that spoke to her stopped speaking to her after that, and yeah. she ended up dropping the class.
But my wife will do that. Like she'll ask, I don't need a man. And never mind that she's been married for 17 years. I don't need a man. I'm an independent woman. As soon as she can't open something or yeah. can't reach something, it's, babe, can you open this for me? Like, get the fuck away from me, you bitch.
You said that? You said that to her?
I said it.
You said it.
Like, and to no, her I was in the other room, but I think she heard.
Yeah. And then I said, bitch. I'd love that skit.
Actually, today, I forget what we were talking about, but she was nagging me about something. And I said under my breath, half kidding. I was like, shut the fuck up. That might help. Something like that. And I started walking away. And then I turned around and she was right there. And she's like, what? I was like, oh, shit. That scared the fuck out of me. I was like, get the fuck away from me, you demon.
Throwing holy water and shit on her.
I was like, geez. I even told her, I said, I walk with Jesus on my side. You do work for the devil. That fucking creeping around the house.
I used to think my mom was a vampire. Because like everywhere I turned, she'd be there. They never just hear
show
her.
Up.
Yeah, it's like out
especially
of nowhere.
Especially moms, bro.
Oh yeah. Like I get home late from going out. I go in the kitchen to kind of get a little snack. Don't hear a fucking thing. Turn around, my mom's standing right there. And it's just like, I jump and I would just literally hear music.
Oh, shit. Like, especially when you're doing something wrong.
I think John one time stuck his hand in the sink and like flicked, like put his two fingers in there and like flicked water at her. Like holy water and shit. Oh, shit. All right. So, this week's episode, Terror Prime. You know, I kind of thought that these titles should have been switched.
Me too.
Because
it was actually confusing.
Yeah, because the thing was is that in this episode...
Or just call it Terror Prime 1 and 2.
Yeah, because in this episode... But the thing was, in this episode, I think it was Peter Weller said demons, mentioned the word demons, which wasn't mentioned in the episode that was yeah. actually called Demons. And I was thinking maybe they should have been both, because we heard Terror Prime a lot in part 1.
I also want to make one mention. I'm just gonna lay this on the table. The last episode, which is the next episode, sucks, and no one ever considers it the last episode of Enterprise. So if we were considering this the last episode, this would be a horrible episode to end the series to, because it's not like it's happy.
Yeah, but at the same time, it kind of felt like a closure.
It did. But it was also really sad. Like it would have sucked if this was the end.
So this is episode 21 of season 4. Aired, and the reason why I'm saying this, one day after my birthday in May of 2005. So this was my 32nd birthday. And this I'm going to say too. It says on and this is where Memory Alpha is wrong. It says 96th of 97 episodes. Actuality, it's 96 out of 96. Because we do not count the next week's episode, right. Which actually should be counted as part as TNG.
Right.
So, there you go. That's why I'm saying it.
I agree with everything you're saying.
Exactly. God, we hate the next episode. It kind of saddened me when I was watching this, because then I realized, fuck, we got to do... Strange New Worlds, or not Strange New Worlds, These Are the Voyages next week. It's like, fuck.
These are the voyages.
Next, not next time on Star Trek Enterprise. So this picks up pretty much right where we left off in last week's episode. So because this episode, we got to do the arcs too. Arc Terra Prime, 2 of 2. Arc Section 31 in the 22nd century, 4 of 4. And the Xenophobic Humans, 3 of 3. So in this episode, we're going to kind of do what we did last week, where we just kind of talk of the broad themes of this episode. Because the thing is that with this week and last week, we could have gone beat by beat as far as the scene episode goes. But there's a lot of it where going beat by beat didn't really add anything. There's just a lot of broad strokes, which is good in this episode because it's like it had some broad themes and some, you know, first times for some characters in and some in a very, very, oh, wow, the last possible minute we're going to give certain characters a little more room to grow, as well as like starting the Federation. So one of the big things of I kind of want to hit this one of giving characters the ability to do something very, very last minute. Mayweather and Hoshi.
Yeah, all of a sudden they were the fucking...
They were the G's in the shit.
They were handling everything.
They were the John Wicks of the Star Trek universe in this
episode. Mayweather's ass, bro. Like, I was like, dude, when did he figure shit out and fucking take charge? Exactly. He even rolled with fucking Reed to go punk a motherfucker. What the fuck?
If they had done this with him from the start, he would have been a more interesting character. And it sucks to treat a guy who was in Leprechaun in the Hood this way.
Exactly. I mean... When you have the credentials, you know, it's just ridiculous. You know what's funny, though, is as the pilot, basically, and then his history of being on a freight carrier ship or whatever, or a freighter. I don't know why I said freight carrier. he should have been the guy he was this episode, where he was kind of figuring out why shit was broken.
Right.
And stuff like they, I don't know, man. They, it pisses me off. Like anytime I talk shit about Mayweather, it's not the actor I'm talking shit about. Just like Tasha Yar. He's the Tasha Yar of Enterprise.
But he didn't have rape gangs. Out. He just didn't get rape gangs.
No. Well, I mean, maybe he did. Well, stuff can happen off screen. You know, you don't know.
We don't know about his history on the freighter, you know? Although we know his reputation with the white chicks. That was pretty rough.
Jesus.
But yeah, you know, and another thing, you know, I kind of understand, you know, what they were trying to do, particularly with Hoshi, of saying like, look how much she's grown in 4 years, because now she's in command of the Enterprise.
Yeah.
Although I did like Archer's little quip about don't get too comfortable with that seat. I want it back.
You're talking to the Empress.
That's what I was saying. When she goes, contact Starfleet Command, this is Empress Hoshi Sato.
I would have loved it.
All of a sudden, you're like, oh, shit, she's wearing that crop top again? Like,
she's all in the process of ripping the shirt.
As she's telling them to contact Starfleet, she takes a knife and starts cutting the midriff of her uniform.
It was the mirror universe. Oh, she had a lie.
And it was like I was saying, it was cool that she got to, you know, have the bridge, and then she stood up to the president or whoever of Earth. So I thought that was kind of cool, but it kind of reminded me a little bit of which episode was it? There was an episode of TOS that had was it Scotty or something? I think it was Scotty who was in charge of the bridge, but they also had a Federation ambassador on there, and he kept pushing his, you know, trying to push Scotty into do it. But Scott, you know, being a Scotsman, was just like, fuck you, I don't care. But yeah. But at the
Scotty
same,
does whatever the fuck you want.
Yeah. But in that same token, it was like Troy. Remember that episode Disaster on TNG where she was in charge of the bridge? It kind of reminded me a little bit of that. But, you know, I mean, we knew that Hoshi was going to hold out. I mean, there was just no doubts about that. But there were so many spots where I'm like, I was expecting to be like, I'm Empress Hoshi Sato. Show me respect. You know?
Like, no, you, Hoshi, show me a couple things.
What were some of the scenes that stood out for you in this episode?
Well, one, the bad guy was laying it on real thick about hating that baby. The funniest scene for me was, this is the third time he went into a speech about how that baby's trash, and he just walks in, he opens the door of to Paul's room, and she's with the baby, and he just goes, you know, it's a freak, right? And I just was like, all right, like, we get it, dude.
How do you really feel about the child?
Right. And then I think what stuck out the biggest for me was the hypocritical nature of the bad guy.
But that's so human, though. That's such
it is so human. It stuck out because it was good. I liked that flaw made sense. And his kind of dismissal of it. Like and kind of a low key Hitler callback too, because he goes, many leaders in the past have not lived up to their own expectations, and I want Hitler.
Yeah,
I was like, you're comparing yourself to quite the list there, buddy. You know, but it was good. I mean, the episode was really good. It was that, and then I thought Trip was really good in this one when taking nobody's bullshit.
Yeah.
That was funny when dude was like, they squared up with each other. He said, go ahead. And then Trip goes, okay. Punches him in the mouth. She was so funny.
I know. It was that moment where he's like, okay, like, all right, you know what? And then it was kind of like that, fuck it. It just went for it.
That dude was big too. I wouldn't be fucking with him.
You know, that dude was really big.
But yeah, it was the president was a little like just screaming at Hoshi on the bridge, like, bitch, get the fuck out of here.
Hoshi should have used that open palm chop to the neck that they did in like TNG when they hit each other.
She also looked like she's gonna cry.
Yeah.
She was so stressed out.
Well, your communication is suddenly you're in the center seat. It's like,
Mayweather yet again, super pimp on that behind the asteroid maneuver shot or the comet. I was like, this is fucking dope.
That whole segment was hilarious to me because it was Mayweather being a pimp, as he should have been from the entire time.
Absolutely.
Reed in the back getting car sick, and then Phlox going, here, giving him a throw up bag.
That whole situation was funny.
He's like, I've already hit the limit for meds. And he's like, here, take this. And gives him that vomit bag.
I thought, and that's a good point, though, because I think this episode, it was a very serious topic. It was essentially racism and, you know, stuff like that. But they also had a little bit of levity in it, which made it kind of funny, like the funny scenes. But it was pretty heartbreaking what happened with the baby and, you know, then they throw in that line at the end. That there was a flaw in the cloning, and that if, you know, Vulcans and humans wanted to have a kid, that they can probably. And of course, they got to throw that line in because we already know they can.
Yeah, because Spock.
Yeah, so I was like,
that scene at the end, we might as well just get that out of the way at the end. The scene at the end, Trip was breaking my heart.
Yeah, he was crying. He was crying. Yeah. He was ugly crying. And I don't blame him.
No, I don't blame him either, but it was like, we, as Adam and I have always made fun of Trip for some of the shit he does. And, you know, this was a really poignant scene because you're watching him and you're just seeing him break the fuck down. And you know T'Pol wants to, too.
Yeah, but she's a Vulcan. But then it's cool, too, because in this scene, in this same scene in other movies, it would be the other way around.
Yeah.
The woman would be the one falling apart,
right?
You know, and I thought it was a really good it was just a really good scene. And she, I'm telling you, she don't get enough credit because she looked like she was Vulcan crying, you know, like she's crying on the inside, you know what I mean? And it was painful to watch, kind of.
And that whole scene where they're watching her through the incubator back on Enterprise, and they named her after Trip's sister, which I thought
Elizabeth,
which was a good callback, I thought.
Yeah, then What broke my heart, I think the saddest thing from T'Pol in this episode was when Phlox came over and was basically saying she wasn't going to make it and blah, 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 blah. And the only response from T'Pol was, her name is Elizabeth. I was like, bro.
I know.
Like, I can't even imagine. Bro. Like, that's crazy. You know, it was so sad. That's what I'm saying. That if this ended the series, it would kind of suck because it was just so sad, you know. But I thought they did it really well, especially for just 45 minutes. I think they did it really well.
Yeah, I think. Yeah. And I think if the episode had gone a little further, it would have been a lot of extra stuff that we probably didn't need.
Yeah. Snyder.
Yeah, exactly. It didn't need to be 4 hours. It just
this episode is there's a Braga cut. It's 5.5 hours.
Bro. It's actually a season.
They don't play it in black and white. They actually just inverted the colors. It's weird. They turned high contrast mode on.
High contrast mode. Oh, shit. Yeah, I thought it was one of the things that struck me with this episode, particularly when T'Pol was talking with, what's his name? Paxton. I don't know why I said it that way. I was kind of surprised by the nature of my response. Paxton. had this succeed, this would have been the start of the Terran Empire. Because if you listen to that monologue and you listen to what T'Pol said, he's like, yeah, we could go out there, but under Terran rule. And when he was saying, yeah, and they can service us, I was like, holy shit, that's the Terran Empire.
Yeah, this is the official entrance of humanity into the bigger stage in both universes.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's kind of cool. That was always kind of cool with Enterprise, is to see that kind of like that beginning shit that you already knew was going to happen, but you didn't really know how it happened.
Yeah. Because when I heard that, I was like, and I'm listening to him, all of a sudden it kind of hit me. I'm like, oh shit, this is the beginning of the Terran Empire. This is how, you know, it would have started. Or in some universe, this would have been the start of the Terran Empire. You know, and I just thought that was kind of interested. I was like, oh yeah, there you go. And of course, like everything, and even in, you know, in on Earth, that's how people, you know, that's how it starts. It's like, yeah, well, they can be under quote unquote whoever country you're invading's rule, you know.
Yeah.
You know, that's, you know, as long as we're in charge, it doesn't matter, you know. But I did like that, like you said earlier, that, that hypocrisy of like he's using alien tech to keep him. Like she said, she's like, obviously you found something because you live past the age of 22. And,
yeah, because he's using Andorian? Rigelian.
Oh, Rigelian.
Rigelian, yeah. Information that helped cure. Or at least treat his disease that he has, and she made mention that was freely made available in good conscience by the Rigelians, and it's so funny because it's like you see this all the time with people. You get so wrapped up in an ideal and you go so far down the rabbit hole that you can't back out now. You have to keep convincing yourself you're right because you'll look like a fucking idiot at this point. And then pride gets in the way.
Yeah.
So then everything gets justified. Like, well, I'm doing it, but I'm also – he's probably going, I had to use the alien information only because I need to be alive to make sure this happens for my people. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, it all becomes a slippery slope and everyone's happy to slide down that bitch. You know, it's just so – it's so silly. As soon as I heard that, I was like, I verbally, like out loud, was like, fuck this bitch, dude. Like, you're out of your mind. Like, oh, you can benefit, but no one else can.
Right.
Like, come on, dude.
And that's what, you know, like when you have these warlords that, you know, say like, you know, oh, well, we can't have this because, you know, the outside world won't let us. But all the aid that comes in goes to help the person in power, you know. It's really interesting to see that. One thing that we did get out of this, we found out that Mayweather's white chick, Brooks, she actually worked for Starfleet Intelligence.
Mm-hmm. She was a triple agent, it seems. or double agent. I don't know why I said triple. Because in the previous episode, they said that she was a member of Terra Prime. But then there is a mole, and that was sad, too.
Oh, yeah.
I don't fully understand why he did that, though.
Well, yeah, because they didn't explain it all that well, because he says in there... Okay, so just for
people... It kind of looked like he had conflicting ideals, but... Yeah, they didn't really explain it.
Yeah, so for people listening to go like, what the fuck are you talking about? We don't know.
No, this is a conversation between Steve and I. I don't know what the fuck you people want.
You guys are just listening to a conversation amongst us.
That's right.
So while Mayweather is doing Batman in the shuttle pod behind the comet to get to Mars to retrieve Trip.
And, while Mayweather single-handedly saves the day in this episode. Come on.
He literally saves Earth, Mars, and Trip and to Paul, but is never given enough credit because he's black. So, you know.
He didn't save that baby, though.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's only so much he can do. Even Batman even Batman loses from time to time.
That's true. Especially parents. Got him. A little dark humor for the Dark Knight, you
understand? Bada bing. So what was it? What were we talking about? Oh, the mole. So when they're going into Mars, the shuttle pod certain systems go offline and they don't know what's going on. But of course, Mayweather being Mayweather, he pulls it out. But when Mayweather goes ahead and pulls a Dark Knight by investigating what happened to the shuttle pod, they realize that the shuttle pod was sabotaged. And
sabotage.
But Mayweather was warned earlier by Brooks that she believed that there was a that if they're going to go after Paxton, they're going to find out. But what happened is too is that Trip and T'Pol finally found out how they got, you know, how they were able to make the baby, and somebody on Enterprise gave them the DNA of T'Pol and Trip, so they found out there's a mole on Enterprise.
My question is, and I think I just missed this somewhere down the road, why'd they make the baby in the first place?
That was my thing too. I mentioned I want to get to that in a second. Yeah. But so they had a mole on there, and you know, they told Archer, and then Archer calls down to Hoshi, who's meeting with the president, and tells him that there's a mole on Enterprise, and they first thought it was a engineer fuck up. Because
Reed came up to him like,
dude, Reed looked like he has had issues with this dude. Well,
you already know that Reed and Trip are boys. Mm-hmm. So Trip's probably been telling him some shit. Like, fuck this clown. He looks at me in the hall sideways again. He's catching the two piece. Okay?
Reed had this look of like, say something. Just say, give me a reason.
I honestly thought he was smirking when he came in. Like, he's like, I've waited for this moment, motherfucker. You fucked up.
Like, when
Mayweather was the straight man in that fucking conversation.
When Reed came in, you almost wanted to see the video pause and hear that voiceover. And this is the moment he realized he fucked up.
For real. You know, when keeping it real
goes wrong.
And it's funny too, because this dude, I forget his name, the engineer guy,
yeah,
he was actually doing some work in this episode too. I was like, finally.
I know, where he's like, we're ready, okay, we're ready to do this, let's go. And because somebody had signed out shuttle pod maintenance under his ID, but he said that when Trip came back, he took him off that. So
also, how funny is it to hear, isn't this your signature, when it's supposed to be like 200 years from now? You can barely use that now.
isn't this your IP address?
Yeah, isn't this your employee ID number? That's my shit.
So they realized that it was some other person that we've never ever seen before. And Hoshi was to guard him. And then security comes by and secures the president. And then Archer is going down to get to the president. But then this random ensign points a phaser at Archer, and he's scared. He's nervous. You could just see it all on his face. And Archer's telling him that, you know, don't do this. This isn't good for you, but wants to find out why. But he never explains why he did it. It almost seemed like he was under duress. Like there was, you know, there was a reason for it. But he also said something that was confusing to me. He said he, like, in the beginning, I believed what we were doing. Now, I don't know if he meant that for Archer, like in the beginning of this mission, I believed that's in what we were doing.
Like, to me, and this is just my headcanon, was that he turned coat. He became turncoat with the Zindi thing.
Yeah.
And then was kind of just along for the ride out of it. But again, that's why they call it headcanon, because nothing that was said led to that. It's just all I could think of. But then I'm like, well, yeah. And then he offs himself, or unalives himself, as the kids say today. And I was like, where did that come from? You know, I was like, okay. I don't get it, you know.
I mean,
and I almost said Picard. Archer kind of just did that eye close, like, oh fuck. Anyway,
yeah.
it sucked, and then it's funny too because Archer's trying to help him. Like, who is this dude? I've never even seen this dude.
And to be honest, I kind of wanted it to be that other engineer dude because.
You know, I did too.
I was like, oh, let it be.
For some reason, and I must have confused this with a different episode, I kept thinking the president was the problem. Like he was gonna turn coat too. But he didn't. But I must have been thinking about something else. I was waiting. Especially in that scene where Hoshi told him to just wait there. I thought that was gonna be the moment that he was just gonna like be like, haha, bitch, it's been me all along.
Pulls out a suicide vest. You're like, what the fuck?
He's strapped with a bomb and shit.
What the fuck? Like Allah Akbar? What's going on here?
A little racist, but you know.
But accurate, you know. and so going back to what you had mentioned earlier about the reason for making the baby. I came away with the same thing too. Like I watched this episode, no distractions, no, you know, I didn't have my phone in my hand. I had something else in my hand, but that was just because of Hoshi.
Well, before we even get into it, did Terra Prime create the baby or did someone else? Because I think it was someone else.
I thought it was them. I thought it was Terra Prime.
But even then, even if it doesn't matter, it doesn't explain why they would do it. Especially without consent.
Well, if they're a terrorist group like that, they don't need consent.
Well, Terra Prime did it, yeah. But I, for some reason, I thought somebody else did it.
She closed.
And Terra Prime took the baby.
She closed her eyes. That was consent. That was all the consent I needed.
Or the classic, she didn't say no.
Or the other classic, well, if she didn't want it, she wouldn't have dressed like that.
Right. Or the other classic, she was asleep, so I couldn't ask.
Yeah, well, she had my dick in her mouth, so obviously she wanted it.
Sexual abuse is wrong, people. Okay, these are jokes.
But what I came away with, and this is just headcanon, they created her to I believe they created her to make her a symbol,
like of unity. Or no, Terra Prime, a symbol of disgust.
Yeah, of like, look, this is what could happen, you know.
Because, and you know what? It's funny because this episode has been technically hinted towards all fucking season because of the whole, even this goes back to that episode where Phlox was getting harassed in a fucking bar and shit.
Right.
That was last season, wasn't it?
Was this season? No, this was this season because after they came back with from the Zindi mission.
Yeah, and then the Andorian ambassador makes a good point where he says maybe your people aren't ready for this. You know, and it's kind of like, fuck. And that's really the big deal of it. It's like, yeah, you got this terrorist group that's acting. Then they're going to fuck up the whole formation of the damn Federation playing games.
Yeah.
Which is, of course, what they want. But right. It's just – it was really – there was a lot of shit going on in this episode and last. And it all came together really well.
Well, what this episode did was it really – it played with canon
Yeah.
And it dealt with canon because we're dealing with the formation of the Federation. Now, keep in mind, this too, you know, this episode was, you know, written by the A-team, which was Judith Ray Stevens, Garfield Ray Stevens, and Manny Coto. They all had their hand on this on this one. So you're dealing with people that know canon, that know just how fragile, particularly in the beginning. And that's generally when humanity takes that step, there's that pushback of, God, well, we don't want to move forward. We like it the way it is, you know? And, you know, and then when them saying like, oh, protest happened around, you know, the Vulcan embassy and the Andorian embassy and all this stuff. And it's like, it seemed coordinated. I was like going, huh, that seems familiar. You know, 15 years or 15, 16, 17 years before, it's like, oh yeah, social media, you know? And so I thought it was really interesting. And I liked the fact that the Vulcans stayed. Because they said the Vulcans didn't leave San Francisco. They stayed there.
That's OG shit. And that, that proves that we've gotten over the bullshit.
Yeah.
With the Vulcans on both sides. And I actually noticed that too. I thought that was a really slick symbolic message they put in the episode.
Yeah.
Like really showing like they're on equal footing now.
Yeah. It's like, look, we started this together. We'll do this together. Also,
we ride together, we die together. Bad boys for life. That's what Saval said. That's a quote.
That's where you see the new poster of Bad Boys. It's Archer and Saval.
I'd fucking see that movie.
Dude. Right? So yeah, so it was really interesting to see like this the dynamic, and I think that's really more of why we kind of went with, you know, more open discussion in this one, because it dealt with a lot of canon, yeah. You know, and
I kind of like this format too. I'm just talking about the episode.
Yeah. Cause sometimes, you know, they're, you know, going over the themes and stuff like that. It just seemed a little broader, made for a broader discussion.
Right.
But the hybrid, the baby, I kind of always thought it was kind of going to be used as a symbol of like, this is what could happen to us. You know, no more humans. We're half this and half Vulcan or half whatever. And I thought that was probably the symbol they were going to go for, even though they never really stated it. But I think they probably should have. I'm sure it was probably in a line that was cut, you know, at some point because, you know. We ran 0.5 seconds over, so let's cut this line. The most important line of the script we're going to cut. And then fucking Paxton taking digs at Archer's dad. You know, he's like, he never liked the Vulcans, but he sold us out just so he can get his warp engine. He
disses at the last minute. Like, shut the fuck up. I was like, this dude's a clown. Get out of here. And he's doing it from under the desk, too, looking like all stupid.
Like a total bitch, you know?
Yeah.
And what's funny, too, is like they're fighting and stuff like that. And I'm thinking, where the fuck is Trip? I know Trip was hit, but he's not dead. And he's fucking sitting at the computer console with the mask on, fixing everything. I was like, fucking Trip. But yeah, you know, I overall, I mean, the broader elements to discuss were, you know, was going to keep this episode kind of short. I did like the speech that Archer gave at the end, but Saval gave that simp clap after he finished. Like Saval was waiting. He was waiting for Archer to make his final word and just to get up and just start. Like, I thought I was watching Rudy, like, at the second, like, you
know. Saval got nothing but love for the homie Archer.
You literally see him doing the fingers pointing into each other, like, the you simp side.
As fucking he's... wait. I love it. I love to see it, dude. I saw that. I was like, that's my dog. I fucking love Saval. It's so crazy, too, because you think about the first episode, dude was an asshole, man. It's so fucking nuts.
I know, to think it like, yeah, like from Broken Bow, seeing the way they were towards each other. But so one last thing.
Yeah.
Was when they were talking about the shuttle mission, he's like, you're going to have to go in there at certain things. And then fucking Reed and Mayweather were like, this is nothing. It's like, try going that into the Zindi. Like, this is a piece of cake. I was like, oh, we flexing now? Like, this is what we're doing? We're flexing about. And what was Reed doing? Mayweather's doing all the work. What the fuck is Reed doing?
Throwing up.
He says, Reed's his hype man. Reed's his Mayweather's hype man.
I still love how they came up on fucking the assistant, the assistant engineer dude. They fucking came in that room with some force. Like, what up, bitch?
Came in with some thug life going on.
For real. Shit was great.
Say something. Just say something. Make me use this face.
Oh, fuck. I got the finger on the trigger. I squeeze it, motherfucker. I squeeze it. So, let's get into these production notes, right?
All
right. Manny Coto originally pushed to have the short gold-skinned species from Journey to Babel attend the Coalition of Planets conference, but it proved too expensive. He named the species Ithinite, which was mentioned in Azadi Prime before. I don't remember what they
did
look
you
like.
Say Mzadi Prime?
No, I said Azadi.
Oh, because Mzadi Prime.
Oh, I see them. Oh yeah, because they're in the original series, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Where'd I go?
Where I go.
Shoot, bang. That song is so fucking filthy, by the way.
Oh yeah.
Especially for the time that it came out. Ambassador Thoris was originally intended to be Shran, but the producers decided they wanted him in These Are the Voyages instead. They consequently wrote him out of this episode's script. A mistake. Whenever you write that actor out of a
Not Star to Trek. Mention that if Shran was here. In the episode, Shran would have been on the Enterprise with Archer.
You already know. You already Shran would Shran, it wouldn't have been Hoshi on that seat. It would have been fucking Shran on that seat.
And then the clapping at the end would have been Shran and Suval. They would have been both sitting there going, "That's my boy. That's my boy."
It would have been that one meme. To this day. An original version of the script had T'Pol singing a lullaby in Vulcan to her baby when she says, "Hello, I am your mother." That would have been weird, I think. But you know,
she starts singing Taylor Swift, "Hello, it's me."
It's me. This episode marks the final appearance of Gary Graham as Ambassador Saval on the series. He and Harris actor Eric Pierpoint were previously regulars on the television series Alien Nation. Again, Alien Nation was the shit, dude.
Dude, I loved that show.
I need to rewatch that because that was a really good show.
You know, I actually watched the series before I actually watched the movie.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because
I don't think I ever saw the movie.
I heard of the movie and I ended up watching the TV series and I go, "Oh, they're doing a TV series?" And then I watched the TV series and then I went back and watched the movie. And I mean, it made a little more sense, like, oh, okay, this is everything leading up to it. And
kind of, I don't think I've ever seen the movie. I just remember watching the TV show with my grandfather.
Yeah, the guy Manny Patinkin actually played the alien partner in the movie.
Well, now I definitely have to watch the fucking
movie. Because it's Manny Patinkin.
That's right.
That's my boy!
To this day! Fucking that meme is so funny, dude. They played Matt Sykes and George Francisco, respectively. Interestingly, here their roles are reversed. Graham plays an alien while Pierpoint plays a human. The Carl Sagan Memorial Station plaque was the final piece of art design Michael Okuda created for the Star Trek franchise. The final scene between Tripp and T'Pol after the death of Elizabeth was extremely emotional for Connor Trinneer, as his wife had recently told him she was pregnant with their first child. Yo, that'd be rough for me too.
I know, dude. You just
those are some real tears, then, bro. Come on, because that's a thing. Is like, and I'm not saying like someone without kids can't understand, but it hits you. You know, even watching this episode, just the mention of a child dying. And I'm instantly envisioning all my kids dying. I'm like, oh, fuck.
It's funny because, like, I've been watching a lot of, because, you know, YouTube's algorithm is all fucking weird, John Wick movie reactions. And everybody has this, particularly women, have the same reaction. Like, the wife dies, and everybody's like, oh, my God, that's so sad. And then the puppy gets murdered. You know, then they're like, yes, I fully endorse him going and killing every single person on this planet because they did that.
You know what makes it worse with the puppy, though, is that the wife died. What'd she die of? I forget.
They didn't say, but she had it was a long illness.
Right. She passed, but it was a logical death. The dog died because some fucking animal came in and shot him.
Yeah.
Like that. It's the brutality of it.
Well, came to steal the car and then killed the puppy. Like, that wasn't like
it wasn't necessary,
right?
You know what I mean? Like it's just like that would set me the fuck off too.
Not to mention that, but that was also a gift from his deceased wife.
Yeah, that's all he had.
Yeah,
you know, he fucked that rusty fuck. I by the way, I figured it out. I've seen that first movie.
Oh yeah,
but I haven't seen any of the other ones.
I've liked the trilogy so far.
The fighting scenes are dope,
dude. The fighting scene in the third one, holy shit. Like
that, I think I've seen that on YouTube.
Yeah, that's like Star Wars level sword fight play.
You know what's funny is, and I'm going to say this now on a Star Trek podcast, I feel like I'm safe. the prequels of Star Wars had better lightsaber fights than the newer movies. That's all I'm going to say.
Well, no, that's true. Even Lucas said that himself.
I saw a side by side of like one of the main fights from one of the newer movies, and the fucking it wasn't even the red guy fight with the two Jedi. I forget. I don't know why I'm forgetting everyone's name. It wasn't even that fight they were showing. It was a different one that I don't even think I remembered, and it was 100 times better. Like, I was like, what the fuck?
Well, that's what George Lucas had said. He said that when he was doing the prequels, he hired, you know, stunt coordinators, because he said, we get to see fights, we get to see lightsaber scenes and Jedi's in their prime, like the prime Jedi.
Yeah, it needs to be crispy, dude.
Yeah.
I feel like the fight scenes in the newer ones were more brutal and lacked finesse. That's what it kind of looked like.
Yeah, they seem more raw.
Yeah. Which is, I mean, if that was a design choice, fine, but it doesn't look as good.
Yeah.
So whatever. Why are we talking about Star Wars?
Anyway. Because we're all inclusive here. We're the woke Star Trek podcast.
Nah, fuck all that. I'm just
fucking. God damn, you're not coming after my gas stove.
That reminds me. I remember for real. That reminds me. I haven't seen Andor yet, and I'm fucking up.
Dude, I haven't watched the final two episodes because I really don't want to, because I'm like, it's so good.
I think I've seen the first episode, but I haven't seen any of the rest.
It is one of those. That's one of the, it's a slow burn. I've called it a slow burn, but it really does pay off. It's really such a good show.
Well, yeah. I liked the first episode. I just forgot about it.
I got to watch Willow.
Oh yeah, that's true. I gotta watch that. So much shit. I don't have enough lifespan left.
I've been hearing a lot of things about Tulsa King that on Paramount Plus with Sylvester Stallone.
Oh, I watched the first three episodes. It's good.
Yeah, everybody tells me it's really good and it gets better as it goes.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah.
The spotting session for this episode, held to analyze where music would be used, was on March 23rd, 2005. At the session, the episode's composer, Jay Chataway, found a rare occurrence in which not everyone agreed on the musical decisions which had to be made. Quote, interestingly enough, in this show, some people did not want to play Archer's final speech with music, nor the last big scene with Trip and T'Pol and the baby, remembered Chataway. But I said, you know, I hear the music already in my head. I know what it's going to sound like. That indicates to me that the music belongs there, that it's uniquely inspired by that scene. Yeah, when the composer says something like that, you got to just be like, all right, yeah, you know, just put it in there.
It's not like it gets paid by note, you know?
Right. Chataway ultimately won those battles. Some of the musical cues he ended up writing for this installment were entitled Trip Fights Back, Archer's Speech, and Grieving. Pretty on the nose with the titles. This episode was the final one for which Jay Chataway, a veteran Star Trek composer, scored the music. More than 3/4 of the musicians who performed on this episode's score were the same as those on Chataway's first Star Trek score for TNG's Tin Man. Regarding the music for his historic installment, Chataway reflects, they, the musicians, actually turned down other work so they could play it. Which was very, very meaningful to me. It was very emotional. It was very hard for me to do that last score. I thought, well, gee, I might not even write a captain's log again. I wouldn't turn the last Q, which was grieving, in until I had rewritten it three times. I guess I was just hanging on. I didn't want it to end. On his handwritten score for grieving, Chataway wrote, "Fine." On April 21, 2005, to commemorate his final orchestration for Star Trek, Chataway drew on manuscript paper dated April 22, 2005, a sketch of the Enterprise NX-01 illustrated entirely out of musical phrases from the episode's score. He created copies of this for all the musicians, producers, and engineers he had worked with over the years. The sketch turned out to be an extremely popular keepsake. That's nice.
That's cool.
So wholesome stuff going on here.
Yeah, it's funny because when I hear like people that are day players for like musical scores and stuff like that, there's a documentary called Score. Great fucking score. Patrick and I found it, and I told Patrick about it, and he saw it, and he was just like, because we're both into scores. And they talk with like John Williams, Brian Tyler, who did like Guardians of the Galaxy, a lot of Marvel projects, Hans Zimmer, and a lot of these guys, and they go through their process and talk about the scores. But there's the part where they go in to the studio to record the music for the scores, and these musicians are day players, and you hear the score playing, you're thinking, God damn, that sounds good. And then you come to find out they just came in and saw it that day.
Yeah.
Like they had no practice.
That good.
Yeah. They read it and they hear how it sounds and they feel it and they just play it. And you're just like, fuck, dude. Like these guys are fucking amazing. My favorite.
Those kind of musicians are on another fucking level.
Dude. Oh yeah. And they said about like, obviously working for like some, you know, big composers are like, of course I'm going to work with this guy. Like, you know, why wouldn't I? But there was, my favorite part was Hans Zimmer, and they were talking to him and they go, yeah, he goes, sometimes I get taken away by the directors and their views. And when they talk about, oh, we're going to do this and we want this, and I get excited about it. And then 5 minutes after they walk away, I go, oh, I don't know if I can do this. Why did they come to me? Why didn't they go to John Williams?
This is the only episode where Hoshi Sato is seen in command of Enterprise NX-01 during a mission.
A fucking mistake is what I'm saying.
Whoa. This is the final episode of Star Trek Enterprise that is actually set in the 22nd century and features the real versions of the characters. The series finale, These Are the Voyages, is set in the year 2370 and only features holographic duplicates. It's really just a commercial for the holographic. This episode originally aired on the same night as the series finale, These Are the Voyages. Oh, really? I don't remember that.
I don't remember that either, but it could have been like a 2-hour, you
know. That's kind of stupid.
Well, it's like they do.
Well, I guess. Like 2 hours. These Are the Voyages kind of plays like a fucking DVD extra.
Well, the thing is that every finale to this point was a 2-hour finale.
Yeah, but these two have nothing to do with each other. That's the thing that kind of sets me off.
Yeah, because like leading up to that point, you had TNG had All Good Things. You had
imagine if they just had an episode, 45 minutes, and it was just, it wasn't even in space. It was just Archer getting ready for that speech that he does in These Are the Voyages.
Hmm.
And talking to all the crew, and they kind of reminisce about all the things they've done, you know, and stuff like that. That would have been such a better episode.
You know what I would have thought would have been a good episode is, like, they kind of did it early on, but you have them doing a mission featuring all the ships from the different races doing one thing together.
Yeah, that would have been dope.
And having like Archer lead the way, you know, and then ending, like the ending shot would be of Enterprise heading home with all the other, the Vulcans and the Tellarites and the, you know, Andorians all going back, and then just ending it that way as like, this is the start, you know.
The book Star Trek 101 on page 262 by Terry J. Erdman and Paula M. Block list this episode as one of the 10 essential episodes from Star Trek Enterprise. And I agree. This was a good episode.
Yeah. All right. So next week, I mentioned this in last week's episode, we are going to do an audio commentary version of these are the voyages. basically what I consider an act from the TNG episode, Pegasus.
Yeah. It's Pegasus point one. Like, right. That's really what it is.
And although it does pay off in Lower Decks, like that whole thing does pay off in Lower Decks when Riker comes back. Sorry, I was in the hologram hanging out with the original Enterprise.
Yeah.
And Archer and them, you know.
It was all connected.
It's been a long road getting from there to here. To me, that was such the biggest joke, because that's our biggest joke, is using that in dialogue, and him actually saying that just made it like so much better.
It's been a long road.
Getting from there to here. So we'll be doing an audio commentary, meaning we'll be reacting to the episode.
Basically, we'll tell you when to press play.
Right.
And then you can listen to the podcast and watch it with us.
Right. And but for those of you that are just listening to us, we'll talk while things are going on, and we'll comment on how bad the thing this is going on. And this will probably prompt you to go like, it can't be that bad. I need to watch it. Oh, wait, they were right.
But it's no pauses.
Yeah.
We're just going to watch it.
We're just going to watch it straight through.
If we pause it, it'll take about 4 hours.
And it would have been worse than going beat by beat.
For real.
So and that's going to be a new one for us. So we'll see how that works out.
Yeah.
I mean, if it works out, we could do it again too for episodes that we really don't like and really don't want to discuss. So we'll just watch. Hey, that might be a good idea. Because
like, this is a bad episode, so we're going to watch it with you.
Yeah. And instead of actually recounting it beat by beat, we could do that with some of those early TNG episodes.
Some of those early fucking Discovery episodes coming up, too.
Yeah. And maybe Spock's Brain.
Spock's Brain's a fucking classic. How dare you?
Oh, it was funny. I was, before we head out, you know, there's that Lower Decks episode where they start when they talk about Second Contact, and they go back to that planet that dealt with Landru from TOS.
Yeah.
That episode was on Pluto today. And I hear them, and it's like, yeah, but Landru. And I went, holy shit, they're showing that one.
You had to watch it.
I had to watch it. Watch the whole thing. And then afterwards, I was like, fuck, I want to watch that Lower Decks part where they talk about, no, you don't need Landru.
Thanks for tuning in. We've ditched the ads and would like to stay independent. We can only do that with your support. If you would like to donate to make this podcast and all the shows on the Lazy Geeks Network self-sustaining, you can go to thelazygeeks.com and click on the donate button.
And if you can't help us out monetarily, we get it. But you can also share the show with your buddies and rate the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you can. This will give us bigger exposure. All of this helps. Trust me. Just let it happen.
Stop. You can check out our flagship podcast, The Lazy Geeks, where we discuss being a geek in an adulting world, available where you found this one.
And if you want to be a part of the show, hit us up on the comments, questions, or if you have ideas for future episodes, you can go ahead and catch us up on the social media, you know, the Facebook, the Twitter, and the Instagram, all under at The Lazy Geeks, or email us themailbag@thelazygeeks.com. So that is it for us this week. So until next time, I'm Stephen Vargas.
I'm Adam Riley.
Two to beam up.